Environment Matters, sponsored by Wuka Period Pants, the reusable menstrual underwear that completely replaces disposables. Find out more at wuka.co.uk and join the revolution.
Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. And if you've been listening to the show recently, you'll know that we're now into the Wildlife Trust's 30 Days Wild. Now, I've been tweeting some of my random acts of wildness. It's been fun so far. I've swum with baby ducks, I've chatted to a friendly robin, and I've taken a closer look at snails venturing out after the rain. But each Wednesday during June, the Trust are challenging us to take part in a Wild Wednesday challenge. Now, there'll be a different theme for each week, and we can challenge ourselves or other people, you know, the kids, your mum or whatever, to do the challenge. Now, last week's challenge was to see the wild, and this week's challenge is to create a wild thing. Now, we're free to do whatever we want. And the Trust say they don't want to restrict us, just want us to be inspired. So, well, I'm still looking for a bit of inspiration on this one. If you get any ideas, do let me know. At the Hearts of Middlesex Wildlife Trust Twitter feed at HMWT Badger, they've got videos and ideas there. So I'm going to take a look there, see if there's any inspiration there. And you can follow me on at RV_environment to see, well, if I find any inspiration, see how I've been getting on so far. And then there'll be another Wild Wednesday challenge next week. Now, you could get the impression that we are all trying to do our best for the environment. You know, we're doing our best to cut our emissions of climate change gases, or avoiding the use of single-use plastics, or, I don't know, growing bee-friendly flowers in our window boxes. But are we really? So there's new research from Hedley Smith of Homebox, and it suggests that whilst we might be talking the talk, we're not necessarily walking the walk, sometimes to our own cost. I spoke to Hedley to find out more. So Hedley, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So why did you decide to carry out this piece of research?
Thank you for having me. And we decided we wanted to find out more about what people were thinking when it comes to green energy and living more sustainably, because we think it's one of the most important issues of our time at the moment.
Okay, so you were talking to people in East Anglia. Any particular reason that was just where you chose, or was there any particular reason you chose those? Do you think, I mean, would they be representative of people in the rest of the country, I suppose, is what I'm asking?
Yeah, well, we actually spoke to people all across the country, and we looked at each region, and we wanted to find out if there are any differences between different regions. And people in the southeast were particularly interesting for us to find out about, as we're based in London ourselves.
Right. Okay then. So, what did you ask people?
We asked people a whole range of questions. It was all about finding out about what people's views are on living more sustainably, and what they do now, and what they might be prepared to do going forward. So we asked people things like whether they would be prepared to be taxed on whether they do things more sustainably. And we asked people about things like whether they use green electricity at the moment, what things were a priority for them when it comes to living more sustainably, and things like whether they'd be prepared to pay even more money if there was a service they use now that happened to be green.
OK, so I suppose the kind of compromises they'd be willing to make, or the extra money they'd be willing to pay in order to do something that they knew was a bit better for the environment. So what did you find out then? What were your notable findings?
Well, the big thing we found was that while people are very aware of issues relating to climate change and living more sustainably, they don't really take as much action as maybe they could do. And it's quite interesting, because people say that, they might be prepared to pay a little bit more money for something that's green, but then they're not really sure how to do that. They say that they don't actually kind of go ahead and do many of those things. So that was really interesting. It's this gap between what people are aware of and what people actually do.
Okay, so for instance, I'm trying to think. So that might be the difference between buying local tomatoes in the shops or buying ones that have been imported from Morocco, say, or with something like green energy, I suppose.
Yeah, so green energy is a big one, and that's what we, as a company, are quite interested in. And that was indeed one of the biggest things, which we think is really quite simple to do, to switch to a green energy supplier. And it's something that people, over half of people said that they would be willing to pay more if it was green energy they were getting, but only a very small number actually use green energy.
So people understand that it's a good thing to do for the environment and they are prepared to pay a bit more for it, but they just don't do it. Is that right?
Oh,
right.
Exactly.
Okay. And how much more does green energy cost?
Well, this is the really interesting thing. It doesn't cost more. It's actually cheaper for many of the deals that are out there at the moment. If you look at the cheapest 10 deals at the moment, and this has been the same throughout this year, they're actually cheaper. So there's clearly an issue of people not really fully being aware of being able to switch to cheap energy or being able to do other things, as you say, like perhaps going to a supermarket and looking for a greener and more sustainable option that might not actually cost anything more.
Right, OK. So have you got any suggestions? You know, how could we close this green gap? How do we make people aware that actually the simple things they could do that aren't even going to cost them money but are going to be great for the planet?
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. A lot of these things that you can do, by switching to a green energy supplier, maybe growing your own veg, maybe cycling to work, those sorts of things. They're not just cheaper, but they can be quite good for you as well as being good for the environment. Mm-hmm. And I think switching to a green energy supplier is the number one simple, quick thing you can do. It takes 5 minutes if you're not already on a good deal. It can save you maybe £300 a year. So that is definitely something that people should be looking at doing.
Right, OK. So that sounds like a great message to all of us then.
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope that, it's something that's so important and is going to be more and more important as we go forward and more people talking about these things. So being aware of them, just thinking about things a bit more and being, open and interested in ways that you can go and get better deals for things while at the same time doing a bit more for the planet.
Brilliant. Hedley, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
My pleasure.
And like Hedley said, changing to a green energy supplier, of which there are now quite a few, is a super easy way to cut your emissions of climate change gases and can actually save you money. And if you want suggestions for other climate-friendly changes you can make, then do take a look at the Climate Hero page of your old St Albans Sustainability Festival brochure or the website of the two organisations behind the festival. Sustainable St Albans, which you'll find at sustainablestalbans.org, or St Albans Friends of the Earth. And they're at stalbansfoe.org. And if you're listening to Wednesday's show, then you've just got one more day to sign the petition asking St Albans District Council to declare a climate emergency. And you can sign that online via the Sustainable St Albans website or go directly to the St Albans District Council website. And you've got until midnight on Thursday to do that. Or if you're concerned that the UK Parliament is not taking urgent action on climate change, then an event that you might be interested in is the Time Is Now mass lobby on Wednesday, the 26th of June. Organisers say that people from around the UK and also from here in St Albans will be travelling to Westminster to tell our MPs that the time is now to prevent climate breakdown and save our wildlife. The event's been organised by a whole range of groups. They include Friends of the Earth, World Wildlife Fund for Nature, CAFOD, Wildlife Trust, etc. And they're expecting over 10,000 people coming from all over the country to get together and have face-to-face meetings with their MPs. Now, the main event is happening between 1 and 4 in Parliament Square, followed by the opportunity to meet with your MP and take the message about the urgency of climate change directly to them. Now, you can sign up for that online if you just search for the Time Is Now climate change, and do take a look at social media for local groups to see things like which train people are going on from St Albans. I know that the St Albans Friends of the Earth group are headed for the 12:13 train from St Albans City, and I've seen that Anne Main, the MP for part of St Albans has confirmed that she will be there. So that's the Time Is Now Mass Lobby on the 26th of June. Or a little bit closer, St Albans Extinction Rebellion are meeting at the Clock Tower in the middle of St Albans this Saturday for the next in their peaceful protest pushing for urgent action on climate change. If you're interested in joining in, then check them out on Facebook. That's XR St Albans. Now, retirees from Wheatamstead have shown that age is no bar to trying to do your bit to help local wildlife. Sarah Perry, who's the Living Rivers Officer for the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, joined me to explain. Sarah, thank you for joining me. So, residents from King Edward Place, and that's next to the River Lee in Wheatamstead, isn't it? They got in touch with you. What did they want?
Well, they actually got in touch with my predecessor via a meeting quite a while back, and they came forward with an idea to really look to improve the river in front of their property for wildlife in the area.
And you know, what was the sort of attitude to that? What did the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust think?
Well, I mean, we think it's a fantastic idea. We host a number of local river groups, the Upper Lee being one of them, which is where Wheathamstead lies. So it's really great to have the support of some of the local residents in wanting to improve their river. So we thought, well, yeah, of course, we're going to help them do that.
And age was no bar.
Age was no bar, yeah, indeed. I mean, the residents themselves didn't actively get involved in the delivery of the project, but they were really important in helping that come to life. So communicating with everyone that lives there about what the intention was, what was going to be happening, providing support on the day, you know, tea, coffee, yeah, biscuits, that was all very welcome.
All very important, isn't it? That's right. So what did you actually do then?
So we, myself and a chap from the Wild Trout Trust, who we partnered with on this project, built around 30 metres of bankside habitat that will create kind of areas for wildlife to live in, to feed in, to breed in into the future. It was really quite a physical project. So we had about 15 local volunteers helping us.
Right. Okay.
Quite manual over 3 days. So in the river up to your sort of thighs in waist-deep water. Building ledges made of natural brushwood and then okay, planting these up with beautiful, colourful aquatic plants that will grow in place and secure that all together.
Okay, so that's quite nice. So you've got the people from the retirement home inviting you in, doing all your, as you say, your sort of communication stuff, getting everybody on board, and then local residents coming to help as well, volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the volunteers are people who actually help take care of our nature reserves across Hertfordshire. A couple of others were members of other local river groups. So it was quite a combination of different people actively coming together on the day.
Yeah, okay, so a lot of people pulling together to do something. And are you pleased with what you've achieved?
Absolutely. I think it looks fantastic. I mean, it was pretty much just a bare stretch of bank that was crumbling and eroding in places. It was quite dark and shady, so there were no plants growing in the river. And we've really created sort of a flush of colour that not only the residents can enjoy when they look out of their windows, but also wildlife will hopefully use in the future. And they're establishing well. I've been back a couple of times to see them, and I'm happy to say spring has really hit and the flowers are taking off.
Oh, that's lovely. They must be absolutely delighted. Now, did you have any funding for this? It sounds like quite a big project.
Yeah, so we actually received some funding through the Thames Water Community Investment Fund. This was a sort of small-scale project, but it was part of a larger amount of funding that has been used in and around the Wheathamstead area. So there's about, I don't know, a good couple of kilometres of river that are being enhanced through the funding we received via Thames Water.
OK, so how about if anyone listening has land which backs onto the River Lee on that stretch near Wheathamstead, could you help them to make a difference to their banks on the river, make it a bit more wildlife friendly?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one of my main roles, is really outreach with different local people and landowners to provide advice and support on making the river a better place, both for people and wildlife. So I'd say if you have a bit of river in your back garden or somewhere that you take care of yourself, do get in touch. I'd love to speak to you.
And would that apply to other rivers? If somebody's got some land that backs onto the Vare, for example, would that apply too?
Yeah, absolutely. My patch is really the River Lee and all the tributaries, so Mimram, Beam, Rib, Ash, Stort. But the River Vare has a very active society, the Vare Valley Society, which could also help with some of those projects too.
Excellent. Sarah, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
And I was talking there to, lost her name for a moment, Sarah Perry, who's the Living Rivers Officer for the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. And she mentioned the river there. Just a message from the Vare Valley Society, and that's that we have had quite a lot of rain recently. Unfortunately, this is not going to suddenly fill up the River Vare and other rare chalk streams like it with all the water that they need. And there is a plea out there. Please, please be very careful with your water use. Really only trying to use the minimum possible to protect our rivers. There are less chalk stream rivers like the River Vare in the world than there are tigers. So we really need to do our bit for global biodiversity by making sure that we do everything we can to help these rivers. So that's a plea from the Vare Valley Society. Now, a treat for you coming up this weekend. On Sunday, the Gardens of Ashridge will be open under the National Garden Scheme. The gardens are over 190 acres, and they form part of the Grade 2 registered landscape of Ashridge Park. Now, they're based on designs by the famous Humphrey Repton in 1813. There's small secluded gardens as well as a large lawn area leading to avenues of trees. 2013 marked the 200th anniversary of Repton presenting Ashridge with the Red Book, his famous Red Book, detailing his designs for the estate. So over 200 years old. And you can enjoy these lovely gardens on Sunday between 11 and 4. You'll be pleased to know that they are wheelchair and dog friendly as well. Or if you're out in your own garden this weekend, then it's a great time of year for planting things. But do take care to protect from slug damage. And you'll find lots of advice about environmentally friendly ways to protect your plants in the podcast I did a couple of weeks ago. And you'll find that on the Radio Verulam website on the podcast page. I'll be back at the same time next week. Until then, thank you for listening.
Environment Matters, sponsored by Wooka Period Pants, the reusable menstrual underwear that completely replaces disposables. Find out more at wooka.co.uk and join the revolution.